Hello and welcome back to Block Talk, the show where the guests get better every week and I get worse. I'm your host with the most, Green Phlegm, and I think 125 is unironically the best MC version. My next guest is someone I hope you're all familiar with. He's quit modding more than my dad quit smoking. Please give a warm welcome to the stage, AC. Hey, welcome in, welcome in.
Hello. So, that's a nice set you've got here.
thank you very much. Yeah, I feel like I've known you forever, because we've been talking for a long time on IRC Discord, well, IRC mostly, prior to this, and then, you know, this is my first time probably actually talking to you, I think. How you been, man?
I've been alright, a bit busy doing tech support immediately after I woke up. It's not exactly the best way to start a day, but it's alright.
Thus is the life of a modder. So what are you known for? Who are you, I guess, for people that don't know you in the community?
Yeah, so I'm AC. When people ask me this question, I tend to say I'm a meme.
But that's a good way to describe
general,
you.
In general, like, I'm a modder who has been around in the Minecraft community for almost a decade now. I don't know why, that's terrifying, actually. Like, I've been here for a decade. But for the modding community, I've been around for since, like, 2012, 2013. And mm-hmm. The things I'm most known for, maintaining Buildcraft, PhoneFix, other silly projects like Carset or Resto minus Redstone, and of course the new kid on the block, Fabric.
Yeah. So that's the most interesting thing, I think, about your trajectory. I mean, how did you get into Minecraft? Let's start at the beginning. How did you get into it?
It's a bit embarrassing to say, but I was Googling for, like, I was 12 at the time, so I was Googling for, like, something that would let me play with Legos instead on a computer, and somehow I found Minecraft.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
It's like the most stereotypical way to find Minecraft ever possible.
I know, because literally every person describes it as Legos and computers. Like,
yeah,
so
I found it that way, and I was playing on, like, this small village server back in 002301, and I don't know, I just kind of stuck around with the community ever since, on and off, and I'm still here.
So what was the first mod that you ever played with, do you remember?
I think it was on Minecraft 1.1. I didn't really play with a specific mod. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a time when I made a private mod for, like, a YouTube video where I decompiled the game and added some blocks, but that doesn't count. Like, the first real mod I played with was just the entirety of the Tekkit mod pack on 1.1.
I feel like a lot of people got into it at that age and in that time.
And the reason I got into modding is actually because of Equality Exchange 2.
Okay, alright. I mean, that's a fun one to get into.
So you remember one in about 1.2.3, there was this exploit with blaze rods and blaze powder.
Mm-hmm.
We had LC2 and EE2, and they have different conversion rates.
Yep, you can make infinite.
And so I was running a small server, and then this person came along and just decided to use the exploit, and I didn't know about it, and I wondered where do they have, like, 2 billion EMC from? And what happened next is, like, the bug was reported, and it would be fixed eventually, but I wanted to keep running the server, and I didn't want anyone else exploding it, so I took E2, and I figured out how it works, and I changed the value so that it would match IC2.
Okay, so you did it out of necessity. You wanted to figure out how to fix this thing without having to wait.
Yeah, and then I was running another server, and since I knew a little, I made a small mod, which added a coin item. And then I just made progressively more and more interesting stuff until I, like, went public with, I think modular computing was the first mod I announced publicly, which was, like, an attempt to implement modular computers with, like, 6502-esque CPU emulation, paper tapes, floppies, like, an entire balancing tree. It didn't work, but then half a year later, Open Computers came along, so I don't care anymore.
So obviously you had some experience prior to this with programming, and you were very young at the time, so how did you get into programming?
Like most people in that era, I started with Pascal.
Alright.
And then I just started playing with whatever caught my attention, you know, when you're young, it's just that, you know, everything's so fascinating and exciting.
You want to learn everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the reason I got into Java specifically was actually because Notch, because, like, Notch made a game in Minecraft, so I thought, hey, you can make games in Minecraft, I'm gonna make a game in Minecraft, and then In Java, sorry, not in Minecraft.
Well, it's basically synonymous now.
I also made a game in Minecraft at some point, I don't remember anymore. You know, computer mods.
Yeah.
The real reason I got into Java was I was stuck at my grandma's for a week with no internet and only a copy of the JDK documentation.
Like every growing boy needs.
Yeah, I had this computer, I didn't have anything to watch on it, and I had a copy of the JDK documentation and some bare-bones programming knowledge. So I made a game, 64 pixels, which is known for two things, a niche community of about 20 people around it, and having total disrespect of any kind of object-oriented programming ever invented.
You know, skipping a little bit forward, you started Fabric after a couple of false starts, right?
Yeah, multiple. Like, the very first time I tried to do something in this area of modding was this API called Mova, but that didn't go well.
That is a blaster in the past.
Yeah, that was 2014, that's a long time ago, but Fabric as it is now was born in August 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember the specifics, which is interesting because I remember how I got into Minecraft and the specific server 10 years ago, but I don't remember how I made the mod later. But essentially, I think it was because of the 1.11 nullability changes that someone figured out, like the item stacks not being null, and a few of us just got curious and decided to see, hey, what's in the snapshots anyway? And after some time, we just started mapping them out for, like, personal use and whatever. And then 2 days later, I also started working on a mod loader around it, which was called Prismarine for 2 hours, then Chorus for a day, and finally Fabric.
You get some whiplash name changing. So
yeah, we decided to name it, we worked on it, but some of the ideas we had regarding how to handle Vixens, say, they didn't really work out. So after, like, we kind of lost interest and kind of just sat there unused for a while. And it just sat there. I think Modmus tried to bring it back in 1.12 briefly, but that also didn't happen. And so we fast forward to October 2018, which is pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
And out of an IRC conversation, which is where all of my stuff is usually inspired, like Convex, I decided with a few friends to just try and bring it back to life again.
So how would you describe it? What would you just use it, like, give it, like, a, you know, short summary of it?
So Fabric is, I usually call it a modic toolchain. It's essentially a set of tools which is modular, which is open, which means you can use it in other projects as well. It's essentially, its biggest draw for a user is probably the fact that it, being much more modern and open, it lets a lot of more people contribute, which allows us to, say, keep track of snapshots. I think that's the biggest feature, but also it's a lot more lightweight, which is by some seen as an advantage, some as a disadvantage. It has some interesting features regarding, say, distributing dependencies as part of a mod, so mods can depend on 10 small libraries without the user feeling like, oh no, I have to download 10 small libraries, what a terrible, terrible modder.
And so it auto-downloads them for them?
Yeah, you can just bundle your dependencies in the jar and the loader will automatically pick the newest version out of all the mods you have installed.
Got it.
It doesn't conflict with anything, so...
So, that's... yeah, and when we were talking in the pre-interview, I had the mistaken thought of what I thought, you know, Nova used to be this thing that, like, you could update to the newest version without having to update your mod. But this, the way you're explaining it is... that you guys map out, which is something that Minecraft Coder Pack does every big update. You guys are doing that for every small snapshot, correct? And that allows people to update more incrementally and in anticipation for bigger updates.
Yeah, so let me explain this with an analogy. So let's say we're updating from 1.13.2 to 1.14, which is about to happen for a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So if we say when on this track of updating from this to this, then 1.13.2, having your mod entirely on 1.13.2, is 0% updated, because it's not updated at all. And a functioning mod on 1.14 is about 100% updated, because, well, it's there.
Yeah.
So, Mojang always uses snapshots, which are quite literally snapshots of their development tree, and say the first snapshot, which usually comes out 3 or 4 months after they've done the big refactors, it's usually about 50% of the way there. And then they incrementally, we inch a few percent each time, which makes the subsequent update pretty easy for us, and for modders, so By the time the pre-releases come along, which is like a week or two early, we're like 99% updated and there's only minor cosmetic changes. Which in the end allowed most of the modders in our community to have their pre-release mods just work with 1.14 release, which allowed us to release a mod pack 14 minutes after 1.14 came out.
Right, that's what I've been showing on the screen this whole time. I'm gonna show this mod pack that you guys have up available on your website. It's crazy, like it feels surreal because I'm so used to that grind of, like, you know, new version comes out. Okay, now I gotta wait for the next, like, I don't know, 3 months for to be, even be able to play anything. You know, so like this was weird. It was being able to play it really quickly.
Yeah, so the main thing here is, like, we're not fixing the issue of updating mods. We wish we could fix it, but we're not that clever.
Right.
The problem with solutions like Nova was, A, the fact abstractions are never perfect, B, it tried to chew off a bit too much, because we're also trying to target other potential games. And C, most importantly for me leaving, it was performance. All those abstraction layers, they don't come free, and anyone who upgraded from, like, 1.25 to now knows that abstractions aren't free, and greater flexibility often comes at the cost of performance.
Right, yeah, you'd be further and further away from the bare metal.
Yeah, but what we're doing is we're essentially trying to shift the churn rather than get rid of it. So instead of, like, this step where first vanilla comes out, then mappings come out, then Forge or Light Loader or Mod Loader or whatever you're using, Mod Loader, then excellent job, that's really impressive in this age. when it comes out, and then finally modders start updating their mods, which is usually like 2 or 3 months ahead. And what we're saying is, what if you, instead of starting 3 months after vanilla, you started 3 months before vanilla?
Exactly. Yeah, that was what I think it needs to be hammered home with this, with that, like that right there is what kind of differentiates you.
Yeah, like, the idea here is essentially that kind of got lost in the messaging because we're only available for 1.14 snapshots. It will be more visible in the 1.15 frame, but when 1.15 comes out, we plan to be maintaining both 1.14 for, like, additions and bug fixes and 1.15 snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
And then most modders, in our view, should have a stable mod on 1.14 and then start experimenting with us on 1.15, which means that by the time Fabric for 1.15 comes out, the mods are already done. They can just be pushed because we've figured out all the weird things in 1.15 as we went along. We've had a lot of discussions with modders, and we had like half a year to prepare.
Do you see yourself as a, not a Forge killer, but a Forge rival? Do you see yourself as that?
It's a good question. Like, definitely the community seems to see us that way. That's for certain. I've read a lot of messages which essentially fear a bit of a, like, civil war, and I've heard it quoted, quoted here, between Ford and Fabric. I'm a bit ambivalent on what that's gonna happen, and that's also what, like, kind of delayed the existence of Fabric for a while, but, like, technically, if you go by the user angle, then from a user's perspective, we kind of are rivals. And it remains to be seen what happens from the developer perspective. There are some talks of trying to get Fabric to run on top of Forge. There's some ideas some people are sharing to get the Fabric mods to work, but the thing is, those solutions are never going to be perfect. Anyone who tried to run Forge and Bucket together knows how weird things can get when you have two APIs with very different assumptions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, I guess it really, like, in anything else, any other standard, it's going to be up to the users and to the developers, a bit more importantly, to be able to get on board. And
yeah, but what people seem to forget is that the list of people whose Forge mods currently are popular and the list of people who have moved on to Fabric are very, very separate. Like, if you look at the people who are actually making mods for Fabric, a lot of them are either people who, like, say, made mods for Light Loader or made Vanilla Plus mods who clearly benefit from being able to update to 1.14 on the same day, because a lot of their user base is Vanilla players. And on the other hand, you have a lot of people who, like, weren't really around in the community, were on the sidelines or had unpopular mods. So those are the people whose mods most people wouldn't play on Forge modpacks anyway.
I like that. I mean, so do you think there's a future where, I mean, much like Light Loader is a mod loader that has been able to coexist. Do you see yourself being able to coexist with Forge in the future? Maybe there's a future where that can happen.
Well, if Fabric runs on Forge even to a limited degree that will definitely help, but even then there's many futures that Fabric could take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could have a future in which Fabric is largely a tool for some geeks to figure out snapshots early, and it has helped, actually. I know that some modders who have been watching Fabric closely are also largely developing for Forge, and the knowledge that they have from working with Fabric will definitely help them create better Forge mods faster. There's also the future of, like, us being this light loader kind of thing. And of course, there's the future where we are our own content ecosystem. Whether it will conflict with Forge is really remains to be seen, because on one hand, nobody wants to choose between thermal expansion and industrial foregoing. That's a decision I wish on nobody. but on the other hand, it could be that we have two very different culturally modding ecosystems. Like, say, there's a lot of niches in the community which are really separated from the main movement, like the GregTech6 people who make adults from GregTech6, the Terra Firma craft people for a long time.
Yeah.
There's Raika, there's Better Than Wolves. There's a lot of those places which people just maybe don't think about as much when they think of the united modding community, as they put it. It's just that they're focusing on the mainstream, not on all of those little things which happened off to the sidelines anyway and split off.
Yeah, and that's why I had Raika on, because I like that sort of different point of view. You know, the mainstream point of view is not exactly the most interesting always, and I really do appreciate what you're doing with this, because it does sort of throw a wrench in a lot of things, and I think that's really what you're popular for, isn't it? Kind of throwing wrenches into a lot of things.
As I said, I call myself a bit of a meme in this community at this point.
Well, that's what I kind of wanted to talk about. Well, if you have something else to say about Fabric, go ahead.
Actually, I do have something to say. Like, essentially, what I would like ask people to do is don't fear Fabric. We're not here to destroy your community, please, hopefully. Like, we are essentially, like, even whatever happens to Fabric, I think that its existence and the tools and features it gives will be beneficial to the community and other Java communities. Even there's this project called Distort, which is a modding API for StarMade, and it's essentially 70% Fabric.
Wow.
And wow. Yeah, because StarMade didn't have a modding API, but it is the same kind of thing. You have a game in Java, which is obfuscated. So it's like Minecraft. So they essentially retrofitted our toolchain to, instead of loading Minecraft, it loads StarMade. Our loader is very almost independent from Minecraft, so you just change where it hooks into the game, and bam, you have a StarMade mod loader, or a Slay the Spire mod loader, as I've did in a proof of concept once.
That's really cool. So it's bigger than Minecraft.
Yeah, it's bigger than Minecraft. It's also bigger than 1.14. Like, my goal with Fabric Loader is essentially to make it a general purpose Java game modding ecosystem. Like, right now, Loader 04. I'm sorry, my down, so I had a look at the audience here. Our loader right now runs on every vanilla Minecraft version, if you twiddle with it a little. It's not very well documented yet. So, like, you could use Fabric to make mods for 1.25, or 1.7.10, or Beta 1.7.3, or Alpha 1.26, or, I don't know, the earliest 0.23 version that I mentioned earlier. we also run on Modloader, on top of Modloader, and you can even, to a limited degree, run Modloader modpacks in newer versions of Java now. We can boot on top of 1.25 a Forge, and you can make Fabric mods on top of that. We're really not just trying to be a mod loader for 1.14 and above. We're trying to be a modding toolchain and just have fun. That's actually the final point I wanted to make. My criticism about a lot of modding nowadays is that it has kind of grown a bit too, well, not corporate, because it's not really that. It's modders are wearing suits too often, as I would put it. The community is increasingly expecting a professional experience out of what is essentially a bunch of little paid hobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
And Fabric, in its ethos, in its approach to things, kind of throws a wrench in that as well. We're just here to have fun, and, like, please don't rain on our parade, I guess that's all I want to say. Don't fear Fabric. even if we go under, I think Fabric was a success, because A, it showed that there's different ways to do things, and B, its tools can be used, even if Fabric stops existing. Say, you can still use our mapping toolkit to figure out new versions early. You can still use our loader to mod other games. You can still use the API to port it quickly at any time, just like we've done with 1.11 to 1.13, just as an early port, in case it's needed. Fabric is a set of tools. It's like a sandbox. You can do whatever with it. Just, We're just trying to have fun here, okay? That's all I wanted to say.
I think we get it. I agree that because I had asked you in the pre-interview, what would it take to make Fabric a success, and you said you arguably thought it was already one. And with that reasoning, I think so.
Yeah, it's one in December. We released a successful modeler based on the vision we shared.
Mm-hmm.
We showed that it's possible to maintain mods in such a manner, like the pack. We've shown that these tools are valuable to have, and the fact that it's all fully open means that even if we just move on from Fabric, even if we get lost interest, if there's a need or a desire, anyone else can come in, take our stuff, and go forward with it.
Yeah, you've laid the groundwork for it for other people to take it up if need be. Well, you did mention in the middle of all that that you had one issue with the modded community, and since you're the drama guy, I do have a couple of drama questions for you. What would you change if one? Hey, buddy, you know it was coming.
I knew it. I knew what I was signing up for.
If you could change one thing about the Minecraft modding community, what would it be?
One thing. I don't know. I would try to ask the genie for more things to change first.
All right. Well, okay. You get three.
Nah, I can't think of all three on the spot. So, like, but I don't know one. I can name a couple of ideas. Like, already mentioned the fact that we exist right now in a community where we have hobbyists who are paid way below market wage. Let's put it that way, way below programmer market wage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it out of passion, most of them anyway. At this point, hopefully. And like, I think that some of the fun has been lost around the way. Like, we've essentially live in a world where mod packs have essentially become products and people expect better and better products. But a lot of the people who held this vision, like all those silly mods I make, they also have that purpose. The initial design of the PhoneFix website, the BTM, was also all attempts to try to loosen up the community a little, because I think we sometimes forget that it's a game about virtual bricks. Why are we so serious about it? Why do we get into a massive upset every once in a while and say, oh, I'm playing on a 5-year-old version? Well, okay, they're having fun. It's a game. If the person has fun, the game has achieved its intended purpose.
It's weird that you're...
Just because they're not playing on the version you like.
It's weird that you... that you seem to be in the minority with that opinion, but I agree. I agree,
yeah,
and there's a lot of naysayers with that.
Yeah, and I think, and like most of the other things I would say, like, don't focus so much on having unified standards and a standardized modding environment, as a friend of mine put it long ago. Although it just stems from it, that we're not having enough fun nowadays. It's a modding community, we're modding the game, we can do whatever, we have the power, but instead we're just focusing on, I don't know, I wouldn't even say we're kind of focused on doing Mojang's work for them at this point.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah, we really are trying to, like, patch up a lot of things that we... I don't know. Yeah, I see what you're going for with that.
And so would I change anything else? I don't really know. I don't really know if I would change anything else.
Well, what's the worst thing about it?
I think that's it, really. I think every other good change that I would mention just stems from this one point.
Okay. Alright. So you think that's the worst thing about the community?
Not necessarily, but changing it would solve a lot of the bad things about the community.
Okay.
Like, a lot of the, kind of, the churn of, like, people saying, oh, please, please, look, a modding API has come out 15 minutes ago, you must update your mod right now for everything you have for your education, for your work, for your baby, just update this mod for me.
Me, like, only
that's,
me.
That's also because people expect a product. People expect modern mods to be available in the same way a commercial product would.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we've been spoiled, because it's never even been... it's never been that way, but I don't know why all of a sudden... Well, not all of a sudden, but, you know, gradually over time that we've assumed that it's going to be that way, you know? Because mods have never updated that quick, but everybody, every time, thinks that it's going to happen. Like, so quick.
Yeah, it's just that, I don't know, there's people who, like, people have different interests in the community, because, you know, you have, like, the Art of the Beast community, which largely focuses on those finished products, but that's just a part of the community. There's people who just play with a few mods and they are perfectly content with it. There's people who play with Optifine and don't complain.
Yeah, there's people that
And
play with
like,
Vanilla
so
Plus mods.
yeah, so like for us, it's that mod packs take years to update. It's not that way for everyone.
Yeah.
So those people would ask for mods to be updated early. Say, if you want, say, some kind of enchanting expansion to your game and nothing else, you would just go to the modder and ask them to update it.
that's a fair
And
assessment, I'd say.
yeah, it's just that we kind of live in a bubble where we think that our community, our way of looking at modding is the be all end all way, and that's just not true. We have the massive server plugin community, which we usually think nothing about, but it does some
Dude,
really amazing things.
it's bigger than ours, for that's for
I've
sure.
seen a 1.8 plugin which added pipes, like with models and everything somehow. There's modders adding using resource packs to add custom items by using some clever hacks. There's a CTM resource pack for 1.14 right now, which actually implement limited connected textures with no mods.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. You're gonna have
Yeah,
to send me
the
a link to
Datadog
that.
community, the server plugin community, the East Asian modding communities, which are also very disjoint from ours in many ways culturally. There's just so much stuff, but most of us think that like in the community around here, it just feels like the world begins and ends at the Feed the Beast ecosystem. You know, adjacent things.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I think that's what you mean. I think that's what a really great point with the. There's a bubble. There's definitely a bubble,
Yes, yes.
and once people poke their head out of it, which I think you kind of have, you can start having some fun.
Yeah, you're just widening horizons. You go to like a different place, and then you find, oh, these people think differently, and they perceive things differently. And it's also really kind of like educating and a bit humbling to just go elsewhere and realize that not all people think the same way you do. Not all people see the same events the same way you do. Like, even let's look at the bucket story of like the pay-to-win enforcement. You like most modders would agree with how Mojang treated servers then, but you go to the server plugin community where a lot of the notable people are admins of those servers and they're definitely much less happy about it.
Yeah, and that's like a whole kerfuffle that we didn't even. I mean, if you only cared about modding, that's not something that you ever had to deal with or ever thought about. But it was a big deal, and it was arguably a bigger deal than anything that's ever happened in modding, you know? But since it's not in our bubble, we didn't hear about it.
Yeah, and that's important. You come out of your bubble and you realize that, say, there's a whole world out there. Like, going back to Fabric for a moment, imagine for a moment if all those servers could actually depend on mods reliably without, like, disappointing their users who want to be on, say, 1.13 coming out and they want to be on it at ASAP because they actually like Mojang's additions to the game, like we do.
Right, instead of being the
Yeah,
hipsters
so
that we
you could
are.
have some mods in the Fabric ecosystem, say they could, and I love, just like if you look at Spigot, Spigot also updates to snapshots, and it works very well for them. That's another thing I love.
Yeah.
So, okay, enough of that.
Well, I appreciate it. That was all I had, and I'm definitely gonna leave some all the links to the relevant stuff down below. And I really appreciate you for being on because I feel like. You're one of the voices that, although a lot of people know you, we don't really hear from you as much as I think you should. So thank you for
As
being on.
I used to.
As you used to, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just the kind of like when you repeat the same points for a few years, I kind of get bored of it.
Well, I'm glad that you agreed to come on, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.